We've used these before.
Okay, yeah, so if I wanna talk, I have to push the button.
Actually, no, the red is on.
Good. Okay.
I am, come here, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I just wanted to give you a lesson on the mind. They're all different, so. Okay. Thank you.
Is there a Wi-Fi?
Yes.
Now it's on.
Oh.
As long as the light is green, you can toggle. Kimberly? Kimberly? I was gonna try to start.
Should we use this one?
Soon.
Yeah, I think so.
Testing.
Testing.
So see, if you keep it all the way over there, then I won't be able to.
So Kathy? Okay, for Dawn.
Is this supposed to be? Supposed to be.
One of our board members is still finding his way here, but I think we'll go ahead and get the meeting started. Soon as Kathy gets around and turns the tape machine on. It's okay, Kathy.
It's recording now.
Oh, it is recording? So we can go ahead and start. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So good evening, everyone. Welcome to the regular meeting of the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, La Hontan Region. My name is Dr. Amy Horn, and I live in Truckee, and I'm the board chair. I want to thank you for coming to our meeting this evening. We welcome your comments, ideas, and participation because they help us do a better job. At this time, I would like to introduce the other members of the regional board. Two people down from me is Kimberly Cox from Hellendale. Next to me on this side is Peter Pumphrey from Bishop, our vice chair. The other side of him is Keith Dias from Rosamond. Don Jardine from Markleyville will be here shortly, and Eric Sandell is snowed in Truckee and unable to join us this evening. The executive officer is Patty Kuyumjin. Ms. Kuyumjin, would you please introduce your staff?
Yes, good evening, everyone. With us today is Kathy Ottermatt, our board clerk, Kim Niemeyer from the state board, our counsel, legal counsel. We have Lori Kemper, our assistant executive officer, Scott Ferguson from our Tahoe office, our division manager. We have Patrice Copeland from our victim office, and Jan Zimmerman from our victim office. We had a number of staff that were also snowed in that couldn't come, and I just wanted to mention the board. I just made a decision with one of our staff to close our office for the third day in Tahoe because of the snow. And no ability to actually get to the office because they're snowed in.
Thank you. The regional board will be considering several items during this meeting. Please feel free to comment on any item so that our decision will be based on all available information. If you wish to speak on an agenda item, please fill out one of these orange cards. I believe they're on the table in the back there as you come in the room, and hand the card to Kathy over in the corner there. Indicating which item you wish to speak to and print your name clearly so that I can attempt to pronounce it correctly. Also, please respect the board members, staff, and presenters. We're I didn't mean to read that part. So that we can have an accurate administrative record, please speak after I call your name and invite you to come up to the lectern, and please communicate your ideas clearly and efficiently. I guess I did mean to read that part. No, I didn't mean to read that part. Okay. That's the opening statement. Sorry. And with that, we'll move on to item number one, which is public forum, in which anybody can address the board on any item which is not on the agenda. I don't have any cards for public forum. Just checking before we move to the next item that nobody wants to speak for public forum. Okay, we have dispensed with public forum. Moving on to item number two, which is for the board to adopt. We have minutes of two meetings to consider adopting this evening. The first is the minutes from our September 14th and 15th 2016 meeting, which was held here in Apple Valley. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
So moved by Board Member Pumphrey, seconded by Board Member Cox. Roll call vote.
Dr. Horn?
Aye.
Ms. Cox?
Aye.
Mr. Dias?
Aye.
Mr. Pumphrey?
Aye.
So it is carried. Then the second meeting we have minutes to consider are the minutes from November 9th and 10th, which was held in South Lake Tahoe. Do I hear a motion?
I'll move
the minutes.
So moved by Mr. Dias, second by Mr. Pumphrey. Roll call, please.
Dr. Horn?
Aye.
Ms. Cox?
Aye.
Mr. Dias?
Aye.
Mr. Pumphrey?
Aye.
And that one carries as well. I'd just like to make a comment I want to compliment the staff on the excellent job for both of these minutes. You did a very thorough job, and I really appreciate all the extra work you guys put into the minutes from these two meetings. So thank you very much. And now we're going to item 2A, which you don't have in front of you, but 2A is adopting the uncontested calendar. And this is a time when we approve recommendations for routine and non-controversial items. Anyone can request to remove an item from this list. We have four items on the uncontested calendar this evening. They are item number three, which is new waste discharge requirements for the Blue Eagle Lode Mine in Kern County, for which we have new information that I'm told doesn't affect our permit. Item number six is the rescission of waste discharge requirements for the ACE Cogeneration Company ash landfill in San Bernardino County. Seven, the rescission of waste discharge requirements for Furnace Creek Inn and Ranch in Inyo County. And I hear there are people from Furnace Creek here. And I don't know, we should have an award ceremony for you for actually coming to our meeting tonight. Then the final one is item number eight, rescission of waste discharge requirements for Sequoia Apartments in San Bernardino County. Do I hear a motion to adopt the uncontested calendar, or anyone want to remove any of these items from the list?
I'll make a motion. We approve the items on the uncontested calendar.
I'll second that.
See, I'll give a second to Cox, if that's okay. We'll have a roll call on that. Aye.
Ms. Cox?
Aye.
Mr. Dias?
Aye.
And Mr. Pumphrey?
Aye.
So I hope that wasn't too much of a, what's the word? Well, you aren't too disappointed by how quickly your item went by from Furnace Creek, but we were happy with it. The next item is number four, which is to consider whether to adopt new waste discharge requirements for Crystal Geyser Olancho Water Bottle Company in Inyo, a facility in Inyo County. Do we have a board staff presentation?
Yes, Dr. Horn. Ann Holden is one of our staff who is snowed in, so Scott Ferguson will be in her stead presenting the item.
Good evening, members of the board. My name is Scott Ferguson,
And as you've been told, I will be pinch hitting for Ann, who has done an excellent job on putting these two permits together. And I want to inform you that I'll provide a single presentation on agenda items number 4 and 5. They are both Crystal Geyser facilities, water bottling facilities. And then that will be followed by whatever discussion, but we'll take two individual votes to make your decision on. So with that, it looks like we're ready to go. So this evening, I'm going to be talking about our new proposed waste discharge requirements for Crystal Geyser's Olancha water bottling facility and their Crystal Geyser's Cabin Bar Ranch spring water bottling facility. And these are brand new WDRs. We've never had them adopted for either facility. And see. Try this one. That one.
Get our technical expert. We tested them before. I'll be right back.
Okay. Yeah. How do you turn on? Okay. Well, in the meantime, are you, Kathy, are you able to operate it from, let's just go with that. So just a real brief history of what's brought us here today. Back in 1990, the Olancha facility started operation and continued to operate. We did not have permits on this facility. And in 2014, following the receipt of a complaint and some investigation, we actually, the Water Board issued a series of investigative orders, and this was related to the facility, Olancha facility, had been discharging their arsenic treatment system waste to a single liner pond. When we investigated it, found it to be in poor condition. And so that's what initiated an investigative order. And that investigation continues today, but is separate from these two permitting issues. And there's also a EO's report item that we'll talk about briefly tomorrow in your agenda packages, providing some updated information on that site investigation, which is going well. So in 2014, we started our investigation. 2015, construction of the Cabin Bar Ranch facility started. And in 2016, we got to work on developing waste discharge requirements for both facilities. And we are issuing two separate permits with two separate monitoring programs for these facilities. So the Olancha facility has been in operation since 1990. And the Cabin Bar Ranch facility is still under construction, but expected to come online here relatively soon. Next slide, please. And we're looking, the location of these facilities is it working? Well, thank you much. So where we're located is just south of the community of Cartago, north of the community of Olancha. In the Owens Valley, on the southern shore, basically the southern shore of Owens Lake. And the Olancha facility is outlined, that property is outlined in the black, and the new Cabin Bar is its neighbor, immediately to the north. And then Owens Dry Lake, as you can see, is just north of them. And As I said, we're issuing separate permits and monitoring programs for each facility. They both discharge, or well, Olancha no longer discharges to the arsenic treatment pond or waste pond. And it discharges its wash water, wastewater, to an infiltration basin. And the cabin bar facility will also, when it comes online, discharge its water to a infiltration basin. A little more on the history. Back on November 1st, we issued tentative waste discharge requirements out for public comment. During the tail end of the public comment period, we went down to Olancha and held actually our second public meeting. The first one was back in March, where we were there to discuss the investigation and discuss how we intended to issue permits. This was a follow-up to explain, provide an update on that investigation, and also to discuss the details of our tentative waste discharge requirements, and we also solicited any comments upon which we received one that evening and as part of your agenda package. Following that meeting, we released the proposed permits, or WDRs, in late December, and that's what's before you this evening. The primary pollutants of concern are arsenic, and it's coming from the source water. It's naturally occurring at Olancha. It's above the MCL for the Olancha facility. It's not above the MCL of 10 parts per billion for the cabin bar source or supply wells. Another pollutant of concern is total dissolved solids or salts. And some of that is in the source water from the springs, and some of it comes from the cleaning and sanitizing solutions that are used at the facility. And then pH is a concern because they do need, based on the material, the solutions that they do use, the pH can rise and it can fall, and they are required to adjust it so it is closer to neutral before discharging. And then they have disinfection at the facility, and so disinfection byproducts due to ozone and chlorine residuals are part of are some of the constituents of concern. So to address this, these constituents or pollutants of concern, we've included a number of discharge limits in the permit. And we're looking to protect the municipal beneficial use. And so for arsenic, we're setting it at 10 parts per billion. With the pH standard, we're going with what's in our basin plan, which is between 6.5 and 8.5 pH units. And then we are relying upon applicable MCLs or maximum contaminant limits, which are drinking water standards, for the disinfection byproducts and some metals that we are also concerned, other metals that we're concerned with. For TDS, we looked at, we set it at actually 25% above the estimated discharge levels. That's to account for some flexibility and variability in the source water and discharge quality, but it is definitely keeps it well below the maximum contaminant level of 500 parts per million. Some of the other key requirements that we have in these permits is that we are limiting the discharge of wastewater to that which can be handled by the infiltration basins. And we don't think we'll have any problems with that. They are to maintain 2 feet of freeboard, which gives us a little extra capacity in there, maintains the integrity of the infiltration basins. And they're only, the discharges are only going to the infiltration basins. There are no other authorized discharge locations other than, at the Olancha facility, they can discharge to the fire pond, which is a lined pond, And we've established a time schedule to supply some additional information before they construct an overflow pond to the fire pond. And so at Olancho, it'll be the infiltration basin, the fire pond, and eventually the overflow pond for the fire pond will be the authorized sites. And then at the cabin bar facility, they're planning on just discharging to the infiltration basin. We also have requirements regarding the material storage and handling so that we don't see, say, they make their own plastic bottles. They import the plastic pellets and manufacture the bottles there. So we're making sure that they manage that and other materials so that it doesn't, those materials that are not, have not been identified as being put into the wastewater stream, to make sure that they don't find their way into the wastewater stream. And the other important thing is there will be no septic or wastewater, domestic wastewater discharges to the environment at either facility. They will be using holding tanks that will be regularly pumped. And so no leach field, no nutrients or anything from domestic wastewater, no bacteria. We have a rather extensive, I think, wastewater discharge monitoring program. We're looking at monitoring the discharge volume and the pH on a continuous basis. Monthly, we're looking at the rest of our primary pollutants of concern on a monthly basis. Coliform organisms are semi-annual. And then the cleaning system that they have, they discharge that periodically. So we have a system set up to make sure that they are monitoring that on a regular basis when they do discharge. That's not a continuous discharge type system. And then also at Olancho, we have them monitoring their discharge from their arsenic treatment system to make sure that that will continue to comply with the effluent limits. And that is a periodic discharge system. It's not continuous like their primary wastewater is. We also have groundwater monitoring at both facilities. And it's a simple comparison of looking at upgradient and downgradient. We're looking at water elevations, temperature, our primary pollutants of concern. And we have a couple contingency where they will start out monitoring for volatile organics and some metals other than arsenic on a monthly basis. And for the first 6 months, if they're not detected above MCLs, then they can go to once a year on those. And as this shows, we're looking at up gradient, down gradient. Also, we have a requirement for them to do it every 2 years to do a statistical analysis to see, to monitor for trends, to see if we're seeing increasing concentrations, decreasing concentrations, and that will be done once every 2 years. And to make sure that what we believe will be protective, that it is being protective. We did receive a couple sets of comments on our tentatives, and those are part of your agenda package. Let's see. One was from the Big Pine Paiute Tribe, and then another one was from, and they start on bait stamp 4-67. And the other one was from a private citizen. And we address them with a single letter that's also part of your agenda package. There were requests to add additional effluent limits, monitoring, and monitoring for disinfection byproducts and metals, which we did make revisions to the tentatives in preparing the proposed. So those are reflected in the proposed. We also looked at metals associated with the plastic pellets, the raw material. There was concern there, and so that will be accomplished through our metals monitoring. And There was also a request to put in an additional well between the Cartago community, which has its own water supply wells, and the discharge area for the Cabin Bar Ranch facility. And we felt that with the three brand new monitoring wells that we put in immediately around the Cabin Bar facility, discharge facility, with the other monitoring wells that are in the area, that we believe that those will be adequate to detect any kind of change in flow path that may, we don't believe the flow path is going to be towards Cartago. We believe it's going to be out to Owens Lake. But we believe our monitoring wells are located with a number of other wells in the area to detect if that hypothesis is incorrect and if we start to see changes and the need for an additional monitoring well in between the two locations, then we feel we'll have time to get that in place. But at this time, that's unnecessary. We've passed these changes by Crystal Geyser, and we have not received any objections to them. And I believe we have not... I believe we have not heard anything back from Big Pine Paiute Tribe. And so, but they did receive our comment letter and have had it for a fair amount of time. And that completes my presentation. And entertain any questions you may have.
So should we take questions on both items 4 and 5 at one time? Is there any reason to separate? No? Okay. Board Member Cox, do you have any questions?
Thank you. Actually, I did. I was curious about the arsenic, the difference in the arsenic in the groundwater between Olancha and Cabin Bar.
Mm-hmm.
They're so close in proximity. What is the depth of the extraction wells in Olancha compared to Cabin Bar?
I believe they're in the same relative vicinity. They're drawn from the same water supply, roughly, the source. It's all along the same spring fault line. And I believe they're screened in the same general depth. But what we have found through our site investigation and preparing for these WDRs is that the arsenic levels in that area are highly variable, both with depth and laterally. And a lot of it has to do with where the, what type of soils. You're right in the interface or transition area between the granitics and the gravel, the alluvial material coming from the Sierra down and starting to you get intervening layers of fine lacustrine from Owens Lake. And we're starting to see what we think is a trend where if you're closer to the fine material, lacustrine, you see higher arsenic concentrations. If you're in the gravels, you see much lower. And if you go out about 2.5 miles or so out into Owens Lake from these sites, you see numbers as high as like 48,000 parts per billion at 4 feet below grade. And the other thing just to keep in mind, there's not that much difference in the source water. It's about 20 up to about a maximum of 22 parts per million with arsenic at the Olancha facility. It's at around a high of 9 or so, or 8 or 9, at the Cabin Bar facility for their source wells. Where we're seeing the greater variability is in the discharge areas. I think that's where you saw upwards 300 plus, and that's in the area where the Cabin Bar infiltration basin is going to be going. And that compares to... Yeah, we saw much less in and around, at locations in and around the Olancha. So, but we're just far enough east, we're getting more into those lacustrine fingers, and we think that that's having the influence that we're seeing around the discharge location at Cabin Bar. Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Mr. Pumphrey, do you have any questions?
I did have one question with respect to the Elantia facility, and I apologize for not being able to figure this out, because I think it's probably a pretty simple question.
Mr. Pumphrey, sorry, do you have to be pointed to your mouth? Sorry.
Okay. My understanding is that at present there's some arsenic water that's trucked from the Elantia facility and disposed of off-site.
Yes. So, I'll go ahead.
Well, my question was, is that going to, that operation going to discontinue once the new ponds are put in?
No. The way that the Elantia facility is going to continue to operate as it has since they took the arsenic pond, the arsenic waste pond offline, and they started hauling their arsenic waste offsite. So where the arsenic waste comes from is they have a filtration system, and they have to basically regenerate it, and it's that water that's coming out from the regeneration process, and they monitor it until it gets down to usually about 8 parts per billion, and all the water that's higher than that, they put in a tank, and they haul off, and that's going to continue until if and when they come up with a different system, but that's all hauled off site now and will continue to be.
Mr. Dias.
Yes, thank you.
Scott, my question is in regards to the timeline that you've displayed on slide 2.
Yes.
Have we been regulating their discharges since 1990?
No. These will be brand new waste discharge requirements, first time. So they've been operating without waste discharge requirements since 1990 at Elantia. And then Cabin Bar is brand new, and they won't discharge from Cabin Bar until they get a permit.
Were they unaware that they had obligations?
It's really unclear on why they didn't get a permit before, whether or not they were, what their awareness level was. Obviously, we had not pursued it up until this point, and I couldn't speak to why that was either. But now that we have found out the situation we're dealing with, we are putting these on.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Jardine?
All my questions. All my questions were answered in the briefing earlier, so excellent presentation.
Thank you.
I have to apologize for being late.
It's okay. So with that, I will take a motion on item number 4. The Crystal Geyser Elantia Water Bottling Facility in Inyo County.
Move to approve the proposed permit.
I'll second the motion.
So moved by Mr. Pumphrey, seconded by Mr. Dias, that the board approve the waste discharge requirements for the Crystal Geyser Elantia Water Bottling Facility. If you could call my name last,
I
would prefer
that. Sorry.
So do the roll call. Yeah.
Ms. Cox?
Aye.
Mr. Dias?
Aye.
Mr. Jardine?
Aye.
Mr. Pumphrey?
Aye.
Dr. Horn?
Aye. Thank you. So now we'll entertain a motion on item number 5.
I would move to approve the proposed permit in item number 5 as well.
I'll second that.
Okay. I think I'll give that to Mr. Jardine, if that's okay. The second to Mr. Jardine, moved by Mr. Pumphrey. Can you call the roll again?
Ms. Cox?
Aye.
Mr. Dias?
Aye.
Mr. Jardine?
Aye.
Mr. Pumphrey?
Aye.
Dr. Horn?
Aye. But before we move on to the next item, I just want to, I'm sorry Ann isn't here, because I wanted to compliment her on the excellent job she did pulling these two permits together. They are clear. The requirements are reasonable. The process was very respectful of public comments, and the way the issues were resolved was very pragmatic. So all in all, an excellent job on these new permits.
I will be sure to pass all those words of praise to her.
I wonder, too, if you could tell everyone who was involved in this how much the communities appreciated the work that was done, the public outreach that was done. Sometimes Inyo County people do not necessarily welcome representatives of state government with open arms, but all of the comments that I heard, the letters that went to the newspapers, were uniform in praising our staff and the work that was done by everyone who was involved in those meetings. So kudos to everybody.
Thank you very much.
All right, now we go on to item number 9, which Scott has been eagerly anticipating, which is to update us on the results of our climate change survey.
Here we are. Okay. I'm Scott Ferguson. I'm a supervising water resource control engineer. I'm overseeing your regulatory and compliance division. And this evening, I'm going to be going over a very brief update regarding the Water Board's ongoing efforts to develop and implement a climate change adaptation strategy. And let's see here. I'm going to briefly summarize the last time we got together and what we discussed a little bit there, and provide you a real brief snapshot of some of the information we've received from the survey since we've last met in November. And then I want to really focus most of our time on continuing our discussion that we started in November, and that was looking at the next steps moving forward, a schedule for doing that. And I also want to look at some conditions and actions that we're already starting to take into consideration and that we'll need some further consideration as we move forward. So let's start with a quick recap of our climate change discussion from that occurred during the November 2016 board meeting. And there we brought, it had been a little while since we'd come before you, so we brought you up to date on what our more recent activities had been as far as staff goes. And one of those was we had developed 3 internal working groups at the staff level. First one focusing on wetlands and floodplains. Second one, stormwater and low impact development. And the third one, infrastructure. We also discussed the development and release of Water Board staff's climate change adaptation survey, which focused on primarily about 25 key concepts and actions, potential actions the Water Board could take in response to climate change. And those 25 came from kind of condensing down the 400 plus original ideas that we received a couple years ago during a couple of workshops. So we shared a little information on some of the initial information we got. In November, the survey was still open. It closed this past December 31st. And we provided a little snapshot of some of the initial information we got at that point. And then we turned our attention to a very good discussion, very productive discussion, I thought. You provided some very good input for us. and had some good questions. And some of the key topics that we discussed were the need to keep our stakeholders informed and engaged with for the purposes of hopefully improving our buy-in. If they're part of the process of developing our strategy, they will hopefully be part of the process of implementing it. And we take a more effective approach that way. We also talked about the role or roles that this board could play within the region regarding climate change adaptation. So do we want to just stay within the confines of our water quality authority, or do we want to reach out and participate with others and maybe address climate change on more of an ecosystem based basis, or maybe a combination of both, depending on what we decide as an organization on how to move forward in the future. The board asked us to return during this board meeting to provide some more updated information of the survey, also to continue this discussion, and also to look for maybe have a further part of our November discussion was where can board members get maybe a little more involved if they have specific interest in how we're going about this, looking for opportunities for the board members to plug in more to the process rather than just on a board meeting basis. So that was basically what we discussed and the request, and so here we are again. So I'm going to first just provide, again, a brief snapshot. As I said, the survey closed only less than 2 weeks ago, and as you recognize, we would not have time to really get into it. But we can provide a few little highlights, and then I'll tell you what we're going to do with all this fine information that we did get. We did wind up having a little over 170 respondents. It continued to be, they represented a broad spectrum of affiliation, and I'll have a slide that kind of shows it graphically. We continued to see strong support for action by the Water Board across those 25 potential actions. And there's substantial interest in participating more directly. Our stakeholders want to be more involved. And that's reflected in enclosure number 2, which is bait stamp 9-18. And that's a list of 52 respondents that said, yeah, we are interested. We put the offer out there. We were looking for external partners to participate with the working groups as we move forward on this strategy to get an outside perspective so that we're, again, keep our stakeholders engaged, keep them informed, and that this is not just a cubicle exercise. So we had 50, 51, 52 respondents say, yeah, sign me up. And that kind of broke down. We had about 19 from the government affiliation, 6 non-government organizations, 3 tribal respondents that wanted to continue to be more involved, 2 utility districts, and then 22 others that were either citizens, consultants, maybe academia, special interest groups, something like that. So that's kind of how it broke down. So that's good. That's almost a third of our respondents are dedicated to basically volunteering to help us out with this effort in a more direct manner. See, moving on, here's a graphical representation of who the respondents were affiliated with. And it breaks down on the right-hand side, about 55% or so have some kind of an association with a government agency, whether it's federal, county, town. And then the remaining approximately 45% are non-government, so nonprofits, non-government organizations, consultants, interest groups, private citizens, and things like people like that. So again, pretty good split there between government and private or non-government, which is good. We also took a quick peek to see where people were from. And about a quarter of them stated that they were representing one of the county, or were located in one of the counties in the northern part of the region. And about another 40 or so percent were in the southern portion of our region. And you can see San Bernardino filled a big gap of that. And I don't find that too surprising, seeing that they are the largest county geographically in the U.S. And definitely within our region. And then we had quite a chunk of respondents that were located outside of our region. So I was just glancing at a few. I saw some from like state boards of Sacramento and other places. And that kind of reflects that we did get a very wide distribution in receivership of our survey, which I think is good. So it'd be interesting to see maybe what we tease out of that information there from those respondents to see if it differs geographically or what their interests are. So it'll be an interesting exercise to dive into these details. I think the information that's making up this slide will play a significant role in how we proceed and some of the actions we select. This is a slide showing the ongoing activities that people are already doing out there, that organizations are already focusing on there. And you'll see that the two top ones, over 70% of the respondents to this question, focusing on water conservation, education, and outreach. It drops off to about 50% in kind of a catch-all of other strategy programs and plans that and then we go into about the 40% class, people monitoring groundwater elevations, aquatic habitat protection, and then we drop down to about 30% inventory and assessment of facilities that are at risk, multiple benefit projects, and we see that term with usually with those types of projects, a lot of restoration, stormwater combination, recharge. Those are some of the multi-benefits that people are thinking about. And then the final one is low-impact development, and then everything else was below 30%. But this gets back to one of the items that we, issues that we discussed back in November, and that was trying to identify what are other people working on, doing it effectively, so that we don't just start duplicating the same effort. And we can focus on identifying maybe there are other high priority areas or actions that we want to work on that aren't getting any attention or resources, and that's where we should plug ourselves in. So that's why I said I think this slide will play, the information behind it will play a key role in deciding where we put our resources. Final little snapshot of information from the survey was key concerns. And I didn't put it in graphically, but water board staff has been helping me with this, put together, I forgot what they call it, a word diagram or something. And it's where it basically counts the number of times words show up, and then that's reflected in the size of the word as it's displayed. Well, drought was the biggest word in that display. Water supply, obviously related to drought. Forest health was, these are the top five, basically. Forest health, specifically wildfire risk and tree mortality, flooding, and aquatic invasive species rounded out the top five. So I personally found the aquatic invasive species, I was surprised that that popped up as high as it did. And I think it makes sense because we're already seeing harmful algal blooms, and you'll see that pop up in my one of my later slides. Forest health, that brings up an issue where maybe we don't work just within our confines. There was a very good discussion of about our role moving forward is recognizing, you know, what you do, something, when we'll use forest health was the example, you improve forest health, and along with that comes a lot of wildlife benefits, water quality benefits, water resource benefits, more holistic ecosystem-based approach. So that's something that we'll be looking into later on. So I presented a schedule back in November, and after a little discussion, we clearly identified it and had one definitely key missing element, and that was how we have these 170 respondents, we have other interested people, how are we going to keep them informed? How are we sharing our information? How are we going to keep them engaged? And again, if we keep them engaged, if they're part of the process, we're believing they'll be part of the implementation and will be much more successful and effective. So I went back and I staff and we put our heads back together and started taking into consideration some of that comment, some of the other comments that the Water Board made during November. And following this meeting, I intend, and it's not reflected here, but the first step is I want to get just a quick short letter out to our stakeholders saying, here's what's come out of this board meeting, the last two basically board meetings. Here's where we're going. Here's our schedule. Here's where you can plug in and be a participant. Let them know. So because if they haven't been here, we sent our agenda item out to our climate change list, which is very extensive, but still give them the results, because otherwise they won't see it. And then we're going to really turn our attention to getting into the results of the survey. And we want to prepare a staff report that coalesces the results, our analysis of the results, and share that with you at your April board meeting. What that would result in is in early, mid-March at the latest, but we would be targeting early March, releasing it out to the public so that they had a chance to review it also, and then they could participate at the board meeting, and we would be soliciting input and feedback from the board. We would also be looking in preparation for two workshops that we plan on conducting with stakeholders in June of 2017. We would be looking to see what actions and items from that list of 25 that we want to carry forward and get some additional feedback on and input from our stakeholders on. And it may be a list of, say, 15 or 15 or 20. Maybe we've pared it down a little bit. And in preparation of drafting our strategy, which will really lay out the game plan for the next, say, 5, 10 years, and then with the plan of that, we could easily revisit it every 5 years and update or whatever period we want to pick, that we would have more feedback from our stakeholders on going forward, and that would then be reflected in our draft strategy. So, as I said, take a more reduced, possibly reduced list from the 25, continue to engage with our stakeholders, get their input on making some key decisions on which path they think that we should go forward with, pathways, and then from that, get busy and draft up the climate change strategy, which we would be targeting September board meeting to bring back to you for your input. And if we're fortunate, I would say we would get your approval of that. Or, as we've done with other significant policy type efforts, typically we bring the draft, you comment, we make some revisions, and then revisit one final time for approval and then get busy implementing. So that's our overall strategy and outcome and list of activities based on what we heard last time. I think, again, this is an aggressive but doable schedule of activities. So that leads us to the final area that I want to cover. And that's some conditions, some actions that we need to consider or that we're starting to consider as we go through this process and get deeper into it. One of the issues is we've started this process and we're going to continue this process. And it looks like for the foreseeable future with our existing resources. And in spite of all the talk and activity and action that's going on in California regarding climate change, we're not seeing any new resources coming in to support the water boards with efforts like this. So that's one of the things that we're looking at. That's what the horizon we have in front of us. As I indicated, there's a lot of activity from a lot of different state agencies, federal agencies, local agencies going on in California. California is very active, as you're aware, with climate change. And some of our the state agencies, their activities are having an effect on us. And one example is the Air Resources Board. Their recently released short-lived climate pollutant strategy. It focuses on controlling methane releases from landfills, dairies, and wastewater treatment facilities. Well, guess what? We regulate landfills, dairies, and wastewater treatment facilities, and we're already seeing that there will likely be the need to amend some of our permits to incorporate elements of the Air Board's strategy on this. And they're not alone. There are other strategies and policies, and the state board's working on theirs. We will need to be responsive to whatever is in that policy, which will likely be coming out a little later this year. I mentioned harmful algal blooms. We saw a new effort start this past year, and it started out with just reporting. Okay, we get a phone call. We had a reporting system set up within the state board. That was pretty simple. Didn't require many resources. It's already going to the next level. Staff has now been trained and is getting additional training on sampling when we get a harmful algal bloom report, being able to go out and sample. So we've invested resources now on being trained. We're going to be investing resources now going out and doing additional sampling. And those resources are coming from our existing pool of resources. So we're going to have additional demands on our time and resources moving forward that we need to take into consideration with how we're moving forward and timeline for doing so. So then we're looking down the line of how are some of the approaches given we're not looking at any new resources. We're looking at increasing demands on our resources from other entities. How might we proceed? We're looking at a couple approaches, and it may turn out to be, and likely will be, a combination of these two and maybe some other approaches that we discuss later on at future board meetings. But working within our existing regulatory programs, and some examples that we've discussed is including in our industrial stormwater program permits requirements to do threat assessments for industrial facilities that are in high hazard, flood hazard locations. And then you could follow that up with coming up with some kind of protection plan for those that present the highest risk and the highest threat to water quality should they be taken in by a flood. Related to that one, we can look at with our sanitary sewer program, WDRs. You have infrastructure out there, sewer collection lines, as we're all aware, a lot of them cross under creeks, rivers. Looking at doing threat assessment there, protection plans. Another one that I have up here is permit requirement. It would be in our municipal stormwater program, including permit requirements, or taking a different approach, providing technical assistance for municipalities regarding incorporating low-impact development into their design guidelines ordinances. And the reason I put the or in there is that we don't have to be totally regulatory in our approach. If we have willing participants and partners, and they're really what they need is assistance, technical assistance, possibly funding. Maybe there is new bond monies or whatever, helping them out that way. And we put our efforts into that way. And they lead the charge on actually seeing it hit the ground. And then we can go and do other things with our resources. Another one, and this gets back to infrastructure. I mentioned threat assessment due to flood, the one we were just talking about this evening. As groundwater levels are drawn down, we're going to see subsidence. And that can definitely affect our underground infrastructure as the ground settles and you see pipes, transmission pipes, whether they're petroleum, sewer, they're crisscrossing our region all over the place. And if they set offset because of land settlement, then we're looking at a real potential of having discharges into our groundwater. And the tough thing is you may see it on the surface, or you may not see it on the surface. And so these types of discharges could be occurring for a long time without being detected. And then finally, one other final example. And this one is fresh in our minds. In our 401 water quality certification dredge fill program or our stormwater construction program, incorporating requirements for contingency planning so that when that atmospheric river comes pouring in over your project and you're working in the floodplain or you're working in the Mojave River over here on the I-15 crossing, and you have equipment or you have exposure or you're doing a restoration plan project, are you ready for that kind of flow? And that kind of flow we've already seen happen across the state in the past week. And we've seen a number of atmospheric rivers hit us already this wet season. So preparing so that we don't discharge significant sediment into our waters. We don't discharge equipment and infrastructure into our systems or the pollutants that come with them. So we're living it right now, and we need to be prepared. Final item here is plugging into efforts that are being led by others. We don't have to do this all by ourselves. You start going onto our website regarding climate change, and that's a great jump-off point to see what is going on in California, because we have all kinds of links to other people's efforts, other agencies. I mean, you look at just the efforts that are going on within Cal EPA boards, it's amazing. And that's just Cal EPA. You can look into the Resources Agency, look into DWR, and it's actually mind-blowing how much activity and efforts. And so plugging in where people are already doing good work and plugging in when we have something to offer, not plugging in just to plug in and be part of the meetings, but where we have something to offer and we can, and that may be maybe bringing parties together. There may be five separate efforts going on LID with this, we'll just say a variety of counties, all independent. Maybe the role we play is, hey, let's get us together and be more of a coalition, and that may shake some money loose, improve the chances for funding, and an influence on the process. And then it will also, by plugging in and letting other people do some of the work, we can focus where the work isn't being done but needs to be done. So that pretty much wraps up my presentation. I'm interested in input on what you think about the new schedule, the timing, the elements of it. I'm interested in knowing if there is continued interest on the board. I'm plugging into this process on a more regular basis, and how you would like to go about that. I put out there maybe working with our internal working groups might be a very good method to get plugged in and have more involvement. And I think that's about it. So with that, I'll turn it all over to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Scott. So I open up for discussion or questions from the board. Ms. Cox?
Thank you, Chair Horn. Really good presentation. Thank you.
Thank you
for this. I'm impressed by the survey responses, the number who responded. We've got a great distribution, and I'm particularly pleased with those key concerns that surfaced. It's showing a lot of folks are on the same page. So I think that helps distill down the areas where maybe the most focus needs to take place. As far as the schedule, because this is an added responsibility to staff, I think it's important for staff to, you know, if the schedule needs to slip because of other obligations, then so be it. But we are making some really notable progress on this topic. So kudos to that. And I'm impressed with the list of folks that want to participate in this. And I do think it's important to keep that involvement and that communication going with them. And if we have to slow down the schedule to allow for more meetings to occur in the south and in the north and in the middle of our boundaries, then I think we should allow that to occur. Some folks are probably engaged because they want to know what the impact of the outcomes are going to be on them. And I think that's a fair question. But when we have that level of participation, let's do everything we can to keep that group of interested stakeholders involved in the process.
Thank you. Mr. Pumphrey?
I don't want to repeat what Board Member Cox said, except to say that I agree with everything she said. I think that the schedule is kind of ambitious, and we might do well to remember that certain parts of what we're working on, we can actually start to do even before we actually get a finished product. If we see opportunities or we get invitations to be involved with things, we can sort of get the process going even though we don't have a final document. My other thought in terms of board member involvement is that we might be able to see more clearly what that looks like as we go into preparation for the workshops in June. It might be that once we see what the working groups look like and how they're organized around whatever issues, and then how the work of the working groups will contribute to figuring out a strategy for the content of the workshops, that might be a point where it would be appropriate for board members, if they so wished, to say, gee, I think that's kind of interesting. I'd like to be involved in the process of figuring out what the workshop should look like or the process of working through the workshop itself. So that might be a way that that would be a natural path.
Thank you. Mr. Dias?
Yes, thank you. Scott, I concur with the proposed schedule, and I'd also like to say that I'm very pleased with our public outreach efforts and the results we're seeing. I do have one question. You referred to the climate pollutant strategy of the Air Resources Board as short-lived. Can you explain that?
That was their title. And I don't know if that's, I couldn't tell you what it's regarding, if it's the nature of methane.
Those are pollutants that have a shorter residence time in the atmosphere than carbon dioxide, basically.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Horn.
Okay, thank you. No more questions.
There you go.
Jardine?
I, too, agree with the board members. I think this schedule is ambitious, but I'd like to proceed with it. It gives us a path, some guidelines. Also, I'd like to see board members participate more with the working groups. And we have two members of our board of supervisors who sit on the Great Basin Air Pollution Control Board. So this information does come back to us from time to time. And that's it. Thank you.
I agree. I was very pleased to see that 170 people responded and to see the quality of the people, the names of the people who want to continue to partner with us on this. I confess I struggled with the presentation today. I don't know. For some reason, I thought that we were going to see the actual survey results. I thought that's what we were going to, that we were going to have a chance to see that, what people were saying. It's hard for me to get my head around it. I mean, what you have described is basically a process, but I don't understand what the substance of the process is. For example, do you have any idea what we're going to talk about at the workshop in June?
One of the goals is, like what we've talked about a little bit, is we started out with 400 plus ideas from the two initial workshops. We've condensed that down to about 25. Now, given our resource issues and stuff like that, And just from an efficiency standpoint of avoiding duplication and stuff, we were looking at, okay, identifying where do we want to start our efforts. We see it's not like climate change is going to be done in 10 years and this is a 10-year exercise. What we've talked about a little bit internally is looking at maybe identifying 10 to 15 action items that we want to focus on for the life of our strategy. And that would be initially. And then like every five, and focus on maybe five for the first 5 years.
Do you have any sense what those might be? I mean, just give me an idea of, I mean, one way I could see doing it is maybe have the first workshop focus on infrastructure as maybe being something that's a high priority. Or, I mean, just pick one.
We're going to have it focus on all three of our work group areas. And I think part of it would be within each work to break it out so that people can get their kind of the overall concept. The struggle is, or the challenge, is we have these three working groups, and as we've seen with the discussion on just like forest health and how interrelated it is to so many other areas within the ecosystem, water quality being one, we started out three individual working groups. And as we started working on this survey, we're like, man, there is so much interrelationship. There are several interrelationships. So we think they're still stay together, but we do are considering the idea of presenting our actions within these working group subjects. So we will have an element or a portion of our workshop, each workshop, dedicated to what we think we want to do. Maybe it's in the first 5 years and then 10 regarding infrastructure, when we're going to take a more regulatory approach, or we're going to do this, and how we're going to do it also with our wetland floodplain protection, and the same thing with stormwater and low-impact development. And it may be two or three actions initially that we're really saying, out of the 25, we think we should focus here and here and here, and here's kind of maybe a schedule for doing so.
And Dr. Horn, if this may be of assistance, I know there's not enough information here to help you, I think, guide the board on what they want to discuss in more detail. And because the survey did end at the end of this 2016, we only had a handful of days to pull this item together. So this really is just a snapshot. I think what you're looking for is a staff report that we're going to produce for you in April. And that will give you not only more in-depth analysis of the survey, but a discussion of the 25 ideas that will then allow the board to have a discussion and help you formulate what you would like the workshops to look like and what areas you would like to focus on. So I think in April, you'll have a lot of that information to help guide you to make those decisions. And as Scott said, our hope is to get that staff report out 30 days before the board meeting so that we may also get comments from stakeholders that will help inform the board.
So I'm just looking for comfort that we're not having workshops just to have workshops. I mean, it seems to me that we have to have our own strategy, I mean, not nailed down hard and fast, but some idea of how we're getting wrapping our hands around this enormous subject and what order we're going to do things and what are the highest priority things to look at. And I mean, what I thought I heard in November was that we were going to see the actual survey results so that we could start having that discussion this time at this meeting, but that didn't happen. So I'm left not really knowing what, you know, I don't know how I can contribute much to this discussion. I mean, what I have to see is a schedule. I don't know if it's reasonable. I don't know what we're going to talk about. And I mean, since November, another thing that occurred to me listening tonight is that a lot of the things that we're talking about doing is mitigation of impacts of climate change. We're talking about, you know, trying to provide protections to deal with the increased flooding, the impacts that we're expecting, that we hear are coming our way from climate change. But the question I have is, what could we be doing adaptation. What could we be doing to mitigate climate change? And that's looking at it from the other end. And this is what I've been thinking about a lot lately, which is the role that forest ecosystem health can play in mitigating climate change. And it's at that point where I'm seeing that we need to be looking side to side to what our sister agencies are doing, because our sister agencies may be setting in place policies that make it difficult for us to support people in mitigating climate change, which then makes more work for us because we can't mitigate climate change, then there's more forest fires, then there's more runoff, then there are more impacts to water quality. You know, I mean, if we could mitigate the impacts of climate change, we could be proactive and be better protective of water quality. But without more collaboration with our sister agencies, we're not able to do that. The other thing that comes in, now I know this isn't quite the same thing, I mean, but existing resources is a question. But with the forest, potential for forest ecosystem health restoration, and we start doing it at a scale where industries can start up to do something with the wood that's taken off the forest, then you start getting the private sector resources coming in to do the work. It's not right. just state government that's pouring money into trying to solve this problem, which doesn't alleviate the problem of staff time required to deal with the paperwork to make it possible to do this higher level of activity. I realize that. But it does, if you're looking at it from the, if you're starting from trying to solve the problem and working down instead of thinking about where we are and going up, it, I'm confusing myself now.
I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
And it gets back to more of that holistic, a more holistic right. ecosystem-based approach rather than us being in our silo.
Right.
And I agree, much of my, the examples I provided were more water quality silo, but the forest health one, it was good to see that that was one of the high priorities, because that may take us down a pathway that you're talking about, mm-hmm. And show us that there's great support for that. And great chance for success. Another area on mitigating the causes or impacts of climate change that's a little more within our direct jurisdiction or oversight, and that's the efforts that are being to restoring the high mountain meadows and looking into, can they get the science to demonstrate, yes, there is carbon sequestration that's happening, and get that into the carbon trading program. Once again, that brings in potential for funding to get it to go large scale.
Well, I want to get forest health into the cap and trade program as well.
Yes.
And but, you know, that's not happening. So, but, I mean, so it, the fact that it's not is making it hard for us to deal with the forest health issue, which then means a lot more carbon is going into the atmosphere because we can't deal with the problem in a more proactive way, which is nonsensical. I don't know. Does anybody want to comment on anything?
I just wanted to ask, what are the working groups?
Oh, our working groups are our wetland floodplain. That's one. Our infrastructure, two, and our stormwater low-impact development.
Thank you.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure what more to say.
Those were all. It was all very good input and perspective, and I mean that's why we're coming back, and part of the reason. And apologize for the misunderstanding of what you expected to see tonight. Part of the thing with our survey results is all the individual comments that people provided, and that was Mary Wagner has spent quite a bit of time, because with the survey system that we used, had to download each one and put together a file of them. Oh. And that's people writing sentences. It's not checking a box that then automatically generates a nice looking graph. So I think a lot of information is going to be in there. And again, I apologize for the misunderstanding, but it's still very valuable input.
The thing is, this sort of gets back to a comment that Board Member Cox made the last time we talked about this issue, is that simply because something has been brought up a number of times doesn't necessarily make it the most important thing to address.
No, we're very clear on that.
And similarly, there's a wide variety in the quality of comments and concepts that people are providing. And, I mean, maybe within LID, there is, you know, there are a whole bunch of comments. Maybe a lot of them are not very good ideas or things that are already being done. But there are a few, you know, gems in there that are worth pulling out and thinking more about. But without having a chance to look at those comments myself, I really can't provide any substantive feedback to you.
Well, something I think we can take a look into is possibly getting the raw comments, putting it into a package that, and some of the information out, maybe give you a preview where it's useful. It's enough information for to get your creative juices going and ideas going, and before we come back or release it in early March, the actual staff report. But that's something we need to see if it would be useful, if we can package it where
right.
it doesn't take you, it's not a novel.
Right.
And you wind up reading it. I mean, I think it would be good for us to do a little look at it and go, just like you said, I mean, 90% of the comments on low impact development could be like, yeah, obvious. Oh, there's the gem.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe we can look at that. I can't make any promises right now, but definitely take your input.
One might come by the office at some point and take a look at it and see.
Yeah.
I mean, and throw my hands up and say, can't do anything with this, but leave it to you. Okay. Any more comments or questions on this subject?
Well, just that I think there would be value to seeing the raw information as soon as we could, because the more sets of eyes that can look on the raw information, the more possible triggers there are to say, oh, this relates to that, or this is really significant. Otherwise, right now, we're in a position of trying to decide what we're going to do with our Christmas presents on December 19th. When we don't know what they are. So the sooner we can get any level of information, the sooner we can actually productively start to think about it.
Okay. And before I step down, I forgot to mention one thing in my presentation. It's part of our outreach. The other thing we did out following the November board meeting was that we had our survey translated into Spanish.
Oh.
And we released that, and we'll continue to work on that effort too.
Great. Yeah, great. Thank you. Okay, with that, we'll move on to item number 10, which is a closed session. Do we have any items for closed session this evening? Okay, and with that, we are in recess, and we will resume here tomorrow morning at 8:30 in the morning.
Mark Minsky is going to be here. Oh, I know. This is a mystery of this somehow for me.
Because there's a couple of graphs, and like, I don't know, I'm not left hand left that clear. I'm not going to see so far.
Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Well,
<too. laughs> so we're here tonight.
I'm staying here tonight, but I'm heading back to the dinner.
Is it rainbow? Yeah. I'm expecting you.
here. Oh, there they are in the pasture.
Right.
The rainbow coming down.
It's our cat flap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Well,
is it
the
spring?
And it's
yeah.
A public health. It's not that it's bringing water.
Right. Yeah, no joke. No kidding.
They didn't have
We don't have to do filter, it's groundwater.
Never fly these days.
No.
All right. Well, okay. Good to see you guys.
Yeah, good
take
to
care.
See you. Yeah.
And safe travels. Right? Yes.
We can go to meetings in Tahoe.
Well, and because
we were on the show. I was. The show.
I said 8:30.
I said 8:30.
And Peter.
I'm gonna talk.
I gotta talk to you about what we're talking about.
Well, we should look at the. You've got the hard copy. I don't have a hard copy, so
look
at the video. It was mainly, and in fact, I looked at some of it, and some of it I was like, well,
it's like meats.
Well, and meats, yeah, that's, yeah, you can say it. I don't even think that's
wrong.
Oh, there's the, okay, so in the EO report, there's the stuff with Alan. But then there's the head but the main thing is really
like short
stuff.
Yeah. I'll point out that we
don't know. It went well. I stopped and then Abby and I talked about that
You know what we got up to also is our climate change.
Nothing else this morning.
Yeah, we'll be back.
The
meeting's at 8:30.
Patty has an idea.
I did.
Thank you. And
have you heard
any
interest from board members or vice chair?
No one has spoken about it. Are you going to want to record the meeting? Yeah, I'll leave it to you then to ferret that. I'll just
okay.
It. Should we just leave? That's what I thought. If I left it there, then I could just start it again tomorrow. Yeah. And then the pen that gets
to
oh, yeah,
make,
talk to each other.
Yeah, but I guess it didn't happen this time.
It feels like Friday.
It's
on Friday because we're
off. Oh, thank you.
You're off on Friday.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I'll leave it on.
Yeah. Oh.
So when I come in the morning, I can just cancel that and hit
exactly what I
perfect. And at the end,
more to come, but thank you for that graciousness.
My USB's would that be possible? What do you mean? The audio file? Or if you want to burn it, that's fine, too. Whichever's easier.
Oh, the recording?
Uh-huh.
Sneak out the back door.
Oh, all
right. I have the magic key.
Exit stage right.
Yeah, tomorrow. I'd love to carry your opinion on it. I just signed the NOA for it.
Thank you so much.
Separation.
Here it is, what?
Separation.
Oh, if you have
I was curious.
Working earlier and stuff.
No problem.
Those
things happen. You can either freak out, or you can just roll with it.
Thanks for helping me get Patty and myself checked in.
Oh, you bet.
Coming out, I'll say, oh, well, we can work with them, but they've